How's everybody doing tonight? You good? Everybody awake and alive?
Yep.
Yeah. How was last week? Was it good?
Good.
Justin in here? I can hear him over there. I was teaching in there, and I can hear him in here, or over there. So it sounded like it was going well in here. Come on in, guys. Well, good. Well, so glad to get to hang out with you guys again tonight. And I know I was in Pro Track 3 last week, but my first time to hang out with Grow Track 2 tonight. And I'm going to be in here quite a bit with you guys this semester, so I'm excited about that. And just excited for y'all. Raise your hand if you were part of Grow Track 2 back in the spring. Almost there. Is anybody new? No. A couple of you guys. Okay. Awesome. Great. Well, it's good to have you guys. And welcome back to those of you that started the semester. And then this whole pandemic thing kind of showed up and kind of threw us for a loop, right? Well, guys, we're glad that you're here. It's going to be an awesome night. Excited to be with you. Welcome to Grow Track 2. I know Pastor Justin. He'd laugh. He would enjoy that I just called him Pastor.
Oh, he wouldn't have.
Don't tell him I said that, guys, please. He
probably heard you.
Yeah, I know he did a great job last week kicking things off and kind of explaining to you guys the difference between Grow Track 1 and Grow Track 2. Again, many of you guys that started it last spring, you kind of got a touch, a feel of it for, 6 weeks, 7 weeks before the coronavirus hit. But welcome back. So glad that you guys are back, and welcome to the newcomers. I just want to give you guys a couple quick announcements before we get going here on week two. And that's just the Next Steps opportunities. Obviously, you're in a Next Step tonight by being a part of Grow Track 2. Everybody turn on, wave to Ellie.
What's up, Ellie?
Yeah,
it's
my
Ellie.
I got to embarrass her a little bit, so she's getting mad at me for that. But Next Step opportunities. Not only do we have Grow Track, many of you guys know this, but we have a lot of incredible groups that are happening right now, too. We actually have more groups this fall than we actually had last spring before the coronavirus hit. So we're super excited about that. Groups in Nacogdoches, here in Lufkin, through Iglesia, our Spanish venue. And so just a lot of great opportunities, even outside of Grow Track 2. Obviously, we're glad that you're doing this and you're continuing the journey of Grow Track. But there's a lot of great groups that are happening as well. Love walking by the rooms and seeing not only Grow Track happening every Wednesday night, but a group happening right next door here, a women's group. There's an online women's group happening in my office. There's a couple ladies that use my office at the same time Grow Track's going on, and they're hanging out with some ladies online through a Zoom group, and so that's pretty cool. But there's a lot of great opportunities for all of you guys to connect even outside of Grow Track. And if your schedule allows it, and you're looking even for some more community and opportunity to connect with people, check out our groups at timbercreekchurch.com and select Next Steps, and you'll get to see all the different groups and stuff that are happening. This Sunday night is Encounter. It kicks off for the fall semester. Raise your hand if you've been in Encounter. Wow, almost all of you guys. That's awesome. Well, if you haven't, it's incredible. I've been through it as a student and had the opportunity to teach it a little bit too. And it's just a powerful, powerful 8 weeks. I don't have to tell a lot of you guys that have been through it. And that kicks off this Sunday. I don't say that just for you in the room, but maybe you know somebody that you've been through it. You know the impact that it's had on your life. Feel free to invite people. I believe we have 90 plus people that are already signed up, which is just awesome and exciting. You know, we didn't know what to expect this fall, but that's exciting to see that many people signed up to go through that experience. It's going to be awesome. We also, on your tables right here, we have an opportunity for you guys. We have an incredible kids ministry, KidWorks, that happens every Sunday morning, but it also happens on Wednesday nights. And so what we're asking all of our Grow Tracks is to consider helping out a little bit in there. They could use some extra help, and so they asked us just to kind of announce this. And so if you would be willing to commit once a month to being in KidWorks to help out that team on a Wednesday night, that would be awesome. And the cool thing is that we record Grow Track and every one of our Grow Tracks. And so if you commit to step into KidWorks once a month during this semester, we're going to have it recorded for you. You won't miss anything. You'll be able to listen to the teaching that you're not in here for. And then also, it won't count against your attendance. You know what I'm saying? So it won't count against you if you're serving over there. So if that's something that you'd be willing to jump in and help that team out with, just put your name, your phone number on that sheet there tonight, and that team will connect with you and get with you and let you know how they can help them in what weeks and all that kind of stuff. Sound good? All right, y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
You ready? All right, cool. Well, again, just want to talk about the commitment. It's our second week. Just to remind you guys, the importance of being committed to finishing through GrowTrack 2, and we ask for 80% attendance to finish. So you can miss no more than three classes. So we know that things happen. We know that work things happen, work schedules, conflicts, and stuff like that happen from time to time. And so, but you're allowed to miss three. But hey, if something comes up and you've already missed three, just talk to us. Please talk to James, your coach, your table host. These guys love you. They're here to help you out and work with you. We're not going to punish you because you had to work, right, or something like that. And so just feel free to talk to them. If you're going to miss more than three classes, we want to help you out there. Just want to remind you guys, too, a big part of GrowTrack is encouraging you guys to do the reading plan, the Bible reading plan. So please keep up with that. It's in your notebooks, in the back of your notebooks. It gives you all that information. And so, yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be an awesome, awesome semester. How many of you guys took some time to maybe relook back through what happened last week, what Justin talked about? Anybody talking about prayer, thinking back through that, the different types of prayer? And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Tonight we're going to be talking about how to read the Bible even more intently and use a method that we're going to show you guys. But before I get into that, I want to say this. I said this to GrowTrack 3 last week, and I just want to encourage you guys to in GrowTrack 2. Most of you raised your hand that you started this last semester, 6 weeks in. And so I want you to unbuckle from the mindset, if you have it, that, man, I just got to get through these 6 weeks so I can get to week 7, week 8 that I missed, and get to the stuff that I missed. Unbuckle from that mindset. Re-engage. I'm glad that you're here. And you may have heard this content last semester, the first 6 weeks or so. But we'd love for you guys to just jump back in and just allow the Lord to speak to you maybe in a different way. You might be hearing these teachings the first 6 weeks for the second time, but God still wants to teach you some stuff. And so I encourage GrowTrack 3 with that last week. I want to encourage you guys as well. Just re-engage and ask the Lord, just to have the right heart set when you walk in here every week. Yeah, I've heard this before, but God, show me something I didn't learn last semester. Does that sound good? Does that make sense to you guys? So I want to encourage you guys with that. It's going to be an incredible, incredible semester, as I said. So let's pray real quick, and then we'll jump in and talk about last week. God, we love you. And I thank you for every person that's here, Lord, that the majority of them were with us last semester and now they're back. So thankful for that. God, maybe there's a few that are new, starting to grow track two for the first time. But God, they're in here on purpose, Lord God. They're in here on purpose, for a purpose. And God, I pray that you would just speak to them, not just tonight, but throughout this semester. Lord, I know that life is crazy and life is busy. And for some of us, maybe it was even challenging getting here. And as we sit down in these chairs, we're exhausted from the day, exhausted from the week. God, everybody's got a different story. Everybody's got a different week that they've been experiencing. But God, they're here. And they're here for a reason, on purpose, for a purpose, God. And you're doing something in their lives and in their hearts. And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to all of us tonight, God, as we look at delving into reading the Word of God and why that's so valuable, why that's so important, and introducing a method that might help some of us that are struggling in that area, Lord. I just pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to what you want to say and what you want to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, guys. Real quick, can anybody just tell me about last week? Anything you want to share? Anything that you learned about the different types of prayer? Maybe you learned something new last week that you never really heard or thought about before. Maybe even practice that prayer this week. Would anybody be brave enough to share about that? Not all at once.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I've had a burden lately. Well, it's been a lot longer than lately. That I've been going through the Bible and finding all the examples of where God fought the battle for us. And we're in tough times right now, whether we realize it or not. And, so I've been praying through that and reminding him through his word that he's made promises. The heavenly host is there with him. And if we pray and ask for his power, then what we're going to see is there's going to be some changes. Now, if we don't pray, there's still going to be some changes, but I'll guarantee you, you won't like them.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
I know one thing I usually do on my way to work.
Yeah.
I usually ask the Lord before I walk in, not my will, but your will.
Yeah.
A lot of times, that might go against the building schedule or what you got going on. But I know last week after this class, I had a guy that had an incident. He got mad at me because he wanted me to get supervised over there. Well, it didn't happen the way he wanted to. So he ended up raising his blood pressure up, ended up having a seizure, ended up going to the hospital. And then come to find out, I get sent on transport with him. Find out, like a month ago, he lost his wife. But he hadn't grieved yet. So when you see a grown man sitting there in a hospital bed crying because he's dealing with the loss of that, but he hasn't grieved, and Lord puts you in that position to just communicate with him about what he's dealing with,
yeah,
that's powerful.
Man. That's cool. Yeah. That's awesome, man. That's very cool.
So you never know how he's going to use you, or
absolutely,
where he's going to have you at, or who you're going to be talking to.
Yeah.
You just always got to be open and be sensitive to how he wants to use you.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's great, man. That's awesome. Well, listen, guys, let's jump in. Last week we talked about the different types of prayer Justin talked about and shared with you guys, taught on. This week we're going to talk about how to use soap. Raise your hand if you use soap every day. Who's for you? I'm so glad.
In the morning and the evening.
I'm going to use soap to
leave. Very thankful for you guys using soap every day. We're not going to exactly talk about that kind of soap tonight. We're going to talk about an acronym for soap. And so, but again, thank you for using soap today. And but we're going to talk about reading the Bible. You know, it's so valuable, so important is the Word of God. And it's our daily bread, right? It truly, truly is. And whether you're recently gave your heart to the Lord in the last, I don't know, this last year or in the last couple of years, or you've been serving the Lord for many, many years, we always need to be reminded of the importance of God's Word and that daily bread and how we need it in our life every single day. Amen?
Amen.
And so let me ask you this question. I'd love for you guys just to give me some feedback. How many of you have just begun reading the Bible in the last few months? Raise your hand. Am I brave enough to say that? All Bible scholars. All right. Okay. How many in the last?
You left a lot of gray room in between there.
How many of you in the last year? Kinda.
I'm talking about starting for the first time,
yeah,
or rereading.
You're either the first time or for like your first time to really commit to it, like on a consistent basis. How about that? In the last year.
Okay, so commitment.
Yeah.
Like consistently, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. How many of you 5 years? 10 years. Okay. Okay. Cool. So think back, those of you that are, you know, in the last year, but even those of us that maybe have consistently been reading it for 5, 10 plus years, you know, what are some of the challenges you face or did face, or even, let's be honest, right, those of us that try to read it on a consistent basis, we still have those days, right? I hope I'm not the only one raising my hand, right, that there's days, it just, you know, it's tough to make it happen, you know, or you're not as consistent, right? And so what are some of the challenges you face when reading the Bible? What are some of the obstacles you face in reading and studying the Bible? Did or even still do now? What are just some things, yeah?
Sometimes if your understanding is clogged, you can think that it's contradicting itself, and that's not. It's actually your own understanding that's fogged up.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah, can bring, there's definitely some confusion there. There could be confusion there for lots of different reasons. Mm-hmm. Just distractions, right? What else?
I don't know, if it could be, you know, being tired or sleepy, or it's just not coming clear as you read it.
Right.
So sometimes you have to read it again or cross-reference it with something else.
Right, yeah.
Here's another thing.
Yeah.
Reading more out of habit than with an intent to listen.
Absolutely. That's good. I appreciate the honesty.
That's
my
problem.
Absolutely.
I think sometimes if you've heard something, the same story or same passage multiple times, you can breeze through it and not slow down to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've read that 100 times and you just breeze right past it. Yeah.
Just the challenge of being disciplined to get in the right place with the right mindset.
I know for me, I'll be transparent as a pastor, a preacher. You know, you can get in the habit of reading it a lot of times too much for study, preparing for something you got to teach, you know, and you have to remind yourself, hey, I need to read this for me. You know, sometimes I have to stop and say, okay, God, like, I need to read this just for me today. I need you to speak to me, you know, and this isn't for a teaching. This isn't for a sermon, you know. And so it can be easy to slide into that habit sometimes.
Did anybody mention context?
Context?
Yeah. Well, what I mean by is there are a lot of verses that people take out of context. And it comes by not actually reading the entire chapter, reading the verses before or the verses after. So sometimes people can take those verses out and they try to twist it. And not saying we do it here, but there are pastors that do that. When they take key scriptures and they twist it to fit into what they're trying to teach, and it can actually lead people astray. So, you know, for me, that's one of the things that I'm really adamant about when I'm actually studying the Bible is understanding the context of the culture, what they're talking about, where they're at, all those things. That's part of the context.
Yeah. So you're saying when I was 17 and I wanted to dunk a basketball, and I kept saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Put that on my shoes.
I mean, the Bible.
I've got some stories on that one.
It's never going
to
happen.
Listen, he was telling you to get a ladder.
Yeah, exactly. This Stephen is why we play soccer. those are all good, man. There are so many distractions and challenges that come to the Word of God. You know, the enemy, he does not want you to read the Word of God. He does not want you to live it out. He does not want you to live it and breathe it, especially as a new believer. But whether you've been serving the Lord for 1 year or 20 years, he does not want you to live it, to breathe it, to study it and understand it. And so there's so many distractions, so many challenges, but yet so thankful for the Word of God, so thankful that we have it, and it does so many incredible things. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight, right, is how to read the Bible, understand it a little bit better. Because the cool thing is in Grow Track 1, we get you reading the Bible. We want to get you kind of on a consistent basis reading the Bible. What's great about Grow Track 2 is we want to teach you a method. Maybe it's a method that you've never heard before, but to just go beyond just reading it, but actually taking it and studying it in a specific way that you get even more out of it. Does that make sense to you guys? And so we'll jump into that here in just a second. But I want to share this story. Of course, my wife, I warned her I was going to share this. You know, when it comes to understanding and knowing the Word of God, you know, when you become a Christian, there's this excitement, and you come to know the Lord, and there's this hunger to know Him more, right? I can remember when Ellie and I met way back in Bible college, and we met my second year, her first year. We had a class together. It took me all semester to get the guts up to ask her out on a date. Asked her out. She tried to get out of it, right? And her friends, and I think I shared this last semester too. She might be here the second time, but her friends, luckily, some really good friends. I love those friends because they talked her back into it. Like, no, he's a great guy. You should go on this date. So she went on the date. Thank goodness. And we went on our first date to Barnes & Noble in Springfield, Missouri. And I think we went on a second date, and then we went home for Christmas break or whatever. Tried to call her. She was busy with her family and stuff. And so we ended up just, I had to go back to school early. And I think I emailed her, or she emailed me. And I think one of us, I don't know who did it first, but asked just like 5 questions. Because we still didn't really know each other that well. I liked her a lot. I had a crush on her for sure. But we had spent a lot of time together. And I'm like, I really don't know this girl. And so I think I asked 5 questions, or she asked me. And so I got home that night from work, and I answered those 5 questions. And then I sent her 5 questions. And then it just happened. I think I went back to school like 2 weeks early because I had to go back to work. So I was there like 2 weeks just working every day. But I so looked forward to coming home and reading this email and getting the answers to the 5 questions that I asked so I could get to know Ellie better, right? And then the questions she would ask me and the questions that I would ask her. And of course, when she got back to school, we a short while after that, started dating and stuff and got to know each other better. Why am I saying that? I was just saying that because obviously I wanted to get to know her better. And in order for me to get to know her better, I had to be in proximity with her. I had to talk to her, connect with her, spend time with her, and ask questions, right? And, you know, while there are some big differences between me and Ellie, and Ellie and I's emails that we wrote back and forth in Bible college, and the Bible, and reading the Bible, what we're talking about tonight, there's some similarities to my experience with my wife in the way that a believer relates to God through the Bible, right? The Bible is God's letter, right, to us. It's God's word. It's that daily bread for us. And by reading the Bible with all the different genres and context, we can learn more and more about God. And I love that I've been serving the Lord since I was 13, and yet I'll read a passage like Yellow was saying, and instead of skipping past something I've heard of a ton of times, or I've heard it even preached on multiple times, I see something in it that I've never seen before. And that's just incredible how God does that with his word, right? In a way, that was, you know, not possible with my wife. God truly becomes present with us when we study his word through his Holy Spirit. And as we seek to know God through reading scripture, we not only learn facts about his likes, his dislikes, his opinions, motives, personality, we actually interact with him, right? And we develop a relationship with him. The more we study God's word, the more we come to know, experience, and love the author of this word right here, right? In a deeper and deeper way. Justin, just so you know, I called you Pastor Justin a little while ago. So.
That's not a lot, though.
So, we could spend hours tonight talking about the power of the Word of God and talk about delving into the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God. We only got about 50 minutes to an hour to do this, but what does the Word do for us? Here's a couple things. These aren't in your notes, but I just thought about these today that I just want to throw out there to you as well. You can write these off to the side if you want to. But what does the Word of God, the Bible, do for us? Number one, the Word of God renews our minds to do as we should. Love that. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Maybe it's a verse that you've heard before. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Word of God, when we come to know Jesus, and we pray that prayer of salvation, he begins to change our life. He changes us through reading the Word of God, right? It renews our minds and heals us, right? It also does another thing. The Word of God creates intimacy with God. Right? Why? Because I'm spending more time with him. It's just like talking about those emails that Ellie and I back and forth. I didn't know her. The only way I was going to get to know her is by asking questions and spending time with her, right? And so it's the same with us. When you come to know Jesus, and maybe you've been serving the Lord for years, but you've just never really consistently got into the Word of God to begin to read it and allow it to change you, right? And so the Word of God creates an intimacy with him. The third thing is the Word of God heals us. Amen? It heals us. There is healing in the Word of God. Psalm 107:20, he sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Part of the healing that God's word ministers takes place with us as we read it, right? It's as we read it and meditate upon it, right? But the rest takes place as we confess it over our lives. I love that. You know, I've always said, you don't just read the Word of God, pray the Word of God, right? As you begin to read a scripture that day that just really impacts your life, pray that scripture. Pray that over your life. Pray it over your marriage. Pray it over your children, over your finances, over your circumstances. You not only read it, but you begin to confess it, pray it, and it's just powerful. And the Word is powerful to heal, but we must put faith in it. And let it direct our confession to change the nature of our speech, right? That's so powerful. I love that thought. And then finally, the Word of God empowers us for victory over the devil. Read, if you've not studied the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, study each piece of that armor and understand that and know that we have victory through the Word of God, through the power of God. And we need to understand that, begin to let that soak in our hearts and our minds. It really does empower us for that victory. Amen? And so those are some things that the Word of God does for us. But the question becomes, I know I'm supposed to read God's Word. I know the importance of it. I hear Pastor Stephen and other pastors talk about it all the time. I've heard that for years, but how? A lot of people struggle with how. How do I start? What can I do? I'm starting to read it, but how do I really read it in a way that I can study it and understand it better and apply it to my life? Well, is there a study technique that can help me figure out how to do that? And so that's what we're going to give you tonight, and that's called the soap method. I asked you to use soap today. Glad that you all used real soap today, but I'm going to talk to you tonight about using soap, the soap method with Bible studying, okay? okay? So back in your notes, this is a very effective way to study God's word, and it helps you out. So the S stands for scripture. All right, if you sit down tomorrow morning and you begin to read a particular chapter from the Bible, if you read John chapter 4 and the woman at the well, right? You begin to read through that chapter. You're reading through it, and then all of a sudden, one scripture or a couple scriptures just really stick out to you more than any others, right, as you've read that. So you're not just reading it. You're beginning to maybe read it a second time, and you're reading through it. You're really intently looking at it, praying that God would help you as you read it, and a couple scriptures stick out to you. And my idea is that you write those scriptures down. Maybe it's one scripture. Maybe it's two or three or four scriptures. But whatever it really sticks out to you from that chapter, from that passage, right? And then the O stands for observation, right? You begin to observe what it is about those particular scriptures that stuck out to you. A is application, right? So you begin to think, okay, how does this apply to my life, right? And then P is prayer. You take that passage and more specifically those couple of verses, you begin to really understand after you observe it, you begin to realize how you could apply that to your life, and then you begin to pray. And I love writing out that prayer many times, right? And this is what I love about this is it's great for us as adults, but it's great for kids. This is something we've taught our three kids. And I know, especially specifically my older ones, I love walking in there and find out they pull out this journal we gave them, and they did soap for a particular chapter, right? My son Landon, or my daughter Natalie, or even Audrey, right? And so it's something that is so good for adults, but even young kids, that they can begin to study the word. It's a great technique to help you study the word. So why do we use this? Why is it? Well, here's a couple of things. It's a tool for getting more out of your time of God's word. It's a great tool to get more, because that's the idea, guys. This isn't just something to check off of your list every day, right? This isn't just to, I checked it off my list. I've been a good boy, I've been a good girl today because I prayed a few prayers and I read my Bible today and I read that one chapter, right? It's so much more than that. It's not meant to be that. It's meant to do all the things we just talked about, that to create intimacy with the Lord. It's to heal us. It's to empower us for victory. It's to do so many different things. And so it's to get more out of your time in God's word. Another thing is it's important that we not only read the Bible, but understand and apply it. Right? We've got to truly understand it and apply it. How many of you have read the Bible and you think, I don't understand what I just read? Raise my hand. Still to this day. Okay, I'm a pastor with a Bible degree, and I still read some stuff, and I have to go back and ask somebody about it or get a commentary and be like, what was that all about, right? And so God wants us to understand it and also apply it to our everyday life. Apply God's word to our lives so that we might grow spiritually. It's God's intention that we grow and we become more and more who God's called us to be. And by reading the word of God, truly understanding it and applying it to our lives, we begin to grow and grow exponentially, right? It's also, it's vital that we pass down knowledge of God's word to the next generation. Amen, right?
Yeah.
Man, you know, I think we're getting into two generations or more, it feels like, that are growing up and don't have one clue about the Bible.
Right.
Don't have a Bible in their home. It's sad, you know? And there's such an importance that we need to have it in our lives. How many of your parents, raise your hand? Most all of us in the room, right? And if you're not now, you might be one day. And the thing is that God wants us to pass this down to the next generation, to our kids. I love Psalm 78, 1 through 7. It says, "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm going to say, or what I'm saying. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us." Here's the good part. It says, "We will not hide these truths from our children." Man, forgive us, God, for being so busy that we've just hidden these truths from our children. "We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." God wants us to do that. He's instructed us to do that for the next generation with our kids. "For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them." If we don't teach it, if we don't pass it down, guys, they won't know it, right? They won't know it. "Even the children not yet born." and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. You know, I encourage you guys as parents, don't be afraid of the questions. Don't be afraid of the questions from your kids that maybe you can't answer about the pine pole, right? Embrace those questions. You don't have to have everything answered for your kids, right? You know, it's my kids have asked some good, especially my oldest. She's 14. She's a freshman in high school. And just to tell you, you know, a few months back in the spring during the coronavirus, during quarantine, I went into her room, and she reads the Bible quite a bit. She pretty consistently, without us having to tell her to do it. And I remember that night I went in her room, and she just began to cry. And she said, "God, Dad, I can't get close to God. I can't hear him. I can't feel him. I don't know what's going on." And as a parent, that was a little scary, you know? Like, she was frustrated, obviously. She was crying. And we just began to talk, you know, about that. And I began to share my experiences when I've been in those places before. And I began to realize that she, you know, I think there was a hunger there. You know, I said, maybe, you know, God wants more for you. He wants you to study his word even deeper and more. And maybe it's time to begin to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, we begin to talk about that. We begin to look at it in the Bible. And there's a great book that I had to read along with some scriptures and stuff. And the cool thing is because I leaned into those questions, and I was a little nervous, I was a little scared, because at the time she was like, "I'm questioning if he's real, God. Or, Dad, I'm questioning if God's even real." Even that was scary as a dad, right, to hear that. We leaned into it. You know, I remember going to Ellie and just telling her about it. But you just kind of got to lean into those things and keep that conversation, that line of communication going with your kids and passing that along to them and looking at it with them. And the cool thing is she went off to camp and she experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it just opened this whole new. And I loved it because it was, Dad's a pastor, and Dad can talk all he wants, but I want my kids to have their own experience with God. Yeah. Powerful, real experience. And she had that, right? And I'm not saying that wouldn't happen if we didn't lean in that night, but just, I know for some parents, when passing this down to the next generation, don't be scared. Don't be scared to lean in and let them ask them tough questions. If you don't have the answers, call Justin. Call us up here, right? And we want to help you guys. We want to partner with you. Of course, obviously, KidWorks and Pastor Cameron and Kelsey and the youth department, they want to partner with you too. But lean into those things. So, I think this next thing is really, really important. You cannot pass down what you do not possess. Woo, that's a little bit of a punch in the gut to us moms and dads and adults, right? Right? If we don't possess it, then we don't have anything to pass down to them. In other words, if we're not consistently studying the Word of God and getting to know the Lord through His Word, we ain't got nothing to pass down, right? It's the same in leadership. If you're leading other people, right, you can only take people as far as you've gone or that you're at, right? If you don't keep pressing forward, it's the same with our kids, right? We can't pass down what we don't possess. You read in 2 Kings chapter 22, you read a story about what happened when the nation of Israel neglected to pass down God's word to the next generation. And there's this young king, King Josiah, commissioned to restore the temple, and the priests found the book of the law, also known as the Torah, like the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. It had been lost in the temple itself, and yet they found it. And so there's scriptures on the value and importance of God's word. It's so valuable, so important. I believe these are in your notes. I won't read all of them. But in him lie hidden in all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians 2:3. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Love this. All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching and or for reproof, for correction. I mean, you love correction. That's not fun, but we need it, right? We need it. And for some of you are the boss. Some of you may not, you have people working under you, but you still need correction. We all still need correction. And the Word of God is there also to correct us and help us live the lives that God's called us out to live. It says, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I love Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, right? I've heard that for years. I love that. That is what the Word of God is. It's powerful. It is alive, guys. It's active. Let it be active and alive in your life. If you're not reading it, then it won't be, right? You cannot pass down what you don't possess, okay? So, you guys still with me? How do we use soap here? When you sit for your daily quiet time, first you got to set a time. If you haven't done that, right? You got to set a time. How many of you are morning people? Right, that's me. And my wife's not raising her hand. evening folks, right? You're more in the evening, and that's cool. That's I just always tell everybody, if I did it in the evening, I would just lay before the Lord and I would fall asleep. And I would. Well, I can tell you, right? If I try to read the word, read anything, I pray, I'm just going to fall asleep. So I have to get up early. I've got to do it. Do I do it every single day? No. I want to do it as consistently as I can. But that's my time, right? So you got to find that time, set a time. And I think, Bobby, you were talking about the place. I think the place is important, too. Where's that special place? Because, guys, you're in Grow Track 2 now, and we want to push you to not just read it. Again, you know, reading is good. And like in Grow Track 1, we're trying to get them to read the Bible, right? But in Grow Track 2, we want you to go even further than that. So find that place, find that time that's quiet, and get you a highlighter, and get you a pen, and get the Word of God out and begin to read it. And with the intentionality that you're going to use soap, and you're going to begin to break it down, and not just read it and check it off a list, and say you did that for the day, but actually apply it to your life and do a lot of things with it. So breaking it down a little bit further here, guys. So scripture, right? When you get to the scripture part of soap, you write the verse or verses that stood out to you in your Bible, okay? You actually take those verses. Again, that can be one verse from a passage, from a chapter, from a couple chapters. Right now I'm trying to do the Bible app plan, the Bible in a year, right? So I think it's like, you know, a couple Old Testament, a couple Proverbs, a couple Psalms, some New Testament, right? So you could be reading a lot, but pick one chapter. Pick one, a set that you're reading from a book of the Bible, Old Testament or New, and find a verse or verses that really just stand out to you, okay? And then with observation, what did you observe in that scripture, right? Select one part of the passage that you read that stood out to you. This can be a sentence. This can be a verse. Even a paragraph. I think about in Daniel chapter 4, right? Daniel chapter 3 or 4. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is it chapter 3 or chapter 4?
I think it's 4.
Right. Love that story. And but probably the most, when you read that chapter, one of the most powerful, it's not a sentence, it's not a phrase, it's but if not, right? It's that small phrase of, you know, they're telling King Nebuchadnezzar, you can throw us in the fire if you want. We're not going to bow down to you. And I believe my God's going to save us. But even if he doesn't, right? It's okay. And such amazing faith, such amazing peace, right? In these young men as they're about to be thrown into the furnace. To me, that but if not is the most powerful part of that entire chapter. So it could be something like that, right? And so whatever is really, what have you observed and what stood out to you? And when I read that, it makes me think, okay, what does that mean to me in my life right now? But if not, you know? Like, you know, there might be some major issues going on in my family or my personal life, or I may have gotten a diagnosis from a doctor, and I need to hear that day saying, but if not, you know, God, I know you can touch that family member. I know you can touch me. But if not, you're still good. You're still God, right? So what stood out to you? So that's the O. And then go a little further, the application part. How can you apply the observation so that it affects your daily life? And I kind of just use that as an example with the but if not, right? Whatever your circumstances are, whatever's going on in your life, God will use what you've observed, that statement, that phrase, that sentence, whatever it may be, and you begin to see, how do I need to apply that to my life? Sometimes it's a little bit of correction. Sometimes it's a little bit of, wow, that stings a little bit, but I needed to see that today. I needed to hear that from what I read today. Here's some questions to ask for application. I don't know if this is in your notes, but does this text reveal something I should believe about God? Right? That's a question I'll ask myself sometimes. Maybe there's something I've forgotten, and there's a truth there that I need to remember. That's something I need to believe about God and his character, right?
That's good.
Another thing is, does this text reveal something I should praise or thank or trust God for, right? Sometimes I'm just having a really, really tough day, really, really tough week. And sometimes I just have to stop and say, but you know what, God? I got a roof over my head. I've got a beautiful wife and three amazing kids. And things just stink right now, but you know what? I am blessed, and I am thankful for this. Sometimes you got to just thank your way through a tough situation, a tough season in your life. Another thing with application is this. Does this text reveal something I should pray for myself or for others? Hopefully it leads you to pray for yourself or others. Does this text reveal something that I should have a new attitude about? Now, I'm kind of stinking a little bit too sometimes. But maybe my attitude is just really stunk about a situation that I find myself in. Maybe it's not even your fault, right? It's completely out of your control, but I can control my attitude. And maybe this scripture, this passage, I'm realizing I got to apply this to my life and I got to change my attitude. Does this text reveal something I should make a decision about? A lot of you guys may be in the midst of making some decisions, some life-changing decisions, right? And what you read that day, by doing so, might lead you to make a tough decision, make a good decision, a challenging decision. Does this text reveal something I should do for the sake of Christ, for others, or for myself, right? So those are just a few questions through application. It's applying it to your everyday life. It's applying it to your life right now, okay? And then it's the prayer. You write out a prayer to God based on what you just learned and ask Him to help you apply this truth in your life. And that's all there is to it, right? It's going back to that but if not, right? And let's say, you got a family member that just got a report at the doctor. You don't know how it's going to go. You don't know how it's going to turn out. But you can pray that prayer and say, God, I know this is hard, and I'm hurting for that family member. And I know you can touch and heal her or him. But even if not, I trust you, God. I put this into your hands because I can't control it, right? That's a great prayer with that verse. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay, and so I'm going to do one more little example for you guys, and then it's Grow Track 2, so you guys get to do some more stuff at your tables as a group. We're going to give you a verse here in a minute, or a passage of Scripture, but I want to do one real quick. I'll ask Ellie to come up, if you don't mind. She's going to write for me Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 for me. She's going to write it on the whiteboard here, and put the Scripture on this pad, Ellie. Here are some markers. And I'm just going to kind of read through chapter 3 of Proverbs real quick. Is that okay? You guys can kind of read along with me. It's not in your notes, but kind of read along. And then we'll come back to these verses. But chapter 3 in Proverbs, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years, many years, and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." That one's good right there too, verse 3. That's a powerful verse as well. "Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." Here's the two verses I want to, probably very familiar to you guys, but verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Verse 6, "In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in." That one's, I circled that one in my Bible. It's the one that I needed to hear from time to time, right? "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, He set the heavens in place. And by His knowledge, the depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, persevere, or preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. It will be life for you, an ornament of grace to grace your neck. And you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared." I'm going to stop right there because I know we're getting short on time. But so what I want to do is just kind of soak with you guys on this scripture, and I'm going to release you guys to do. Thank you, Ellie. then I'll release you guys to do one at the table by yourself. So you guys have heard this scripture before, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Y'all all heard that before. It's one of my favorites. And doesn't matter how many times I read it, I needed to read it that day. I needed to read it in that season of my life, right? And so I'm just going to kind of walk you through. And what's cool about this for me personally, when I do sermons, I kind of do the same thing. I get out a whiteboard, or I get out big pieces of paper that I'll stick on the wall. And if I know a passage I'm going to preach, I'll write it out, and I'll just start the same process, kind of like I'm doing with soap, right? But obviously, the biggest thing, what's the biggest thing that sticks out to you guys in this? Like a word.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord, right? That's the whole theme right there, right? And especially trust, right? We have issues trusting the Lord sometimes, don't we? Even when he's followed through and done things. We're supposed to trust the Lord with what?
All your heart.
Yeah, got ahead of me. With our heart, but not just our heart, all of our heart, right? And so to me, like, I might circle this a lot. Like, one day it might be that, you know, I'm realizing that I love the Lord, I serve the Lord. Like, when I was a teenager and I gave my heart to the Lord, I realized at a point as I got to be an older teenager that I had given the Lord my heart, but I didn't give him all my heart. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had given him most of my heart, but there were some pockets that I liked. And I didn't want to give that to him. I didn't want to surrender to that to him, right? And so, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And I love this part. Lean not on your own understanding. Why is that so important?
Because our emotions are liars.
Our emotions are liars. Yeah, absolutely. What else?
Oh, so if you look at that with understanding, as in the New Testament, the Greeks, one of their stumbling blocks was wisdom and knowledge. So our understanding of something, what we think is logical to us, is not God's. That's not God's way. That's not God's
knowledge. Yeah. So. Yeah. Anybody else? What's always stuck out to me with this, and I wrote it in my Bible, I always put, is limited, right? I would add to it, because in so many situations, I want to figure something out. I want to fix it. I'm a guy, you know, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, and I want to provide for my family, or I want to do things, and so lean not on your own, my own understanding is just limited. I don't see the whole picture, I don't see what God's doing, and a lot of times I'm like, oh, I just want to figure it out, God just lay it out for me, God doesn't always work that way, right? Yeah, right.
I was going to say, that also goes back to the beginning of trusting in the Lord, because you're not trusting in the Lord if you are leaning on your own understanding.
Right.
You can't. There's no 50-50 on it.
Leaning on James,
trust
right?
The Lord. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
25% on James and 75% on God, when it's supposed to be all of our heart, right? It's good stuff. And it goes on. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it also goes to the end of the scripture where it says, he'll make your path straight. I think he's 5 steps ahead.
Absolutely.
And we're only here.
So good.
And so you've got to read the scripture in its entirety to see all of it and understand that we're not where he is.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And that's the goal, right? Is we so want God to just show us right away, but he's 5 steps ahead.
Microwave. Right? We want it right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. Yeah, we want the microwave everything, and especially in today's world. We're so impatient. God just wants us to trust, because the cool thing is, too, there's a lot of things to learn in between. There's a lot of things that we'll just chill out, and we'll relax, and we'll trust, because he's always been trustworthy. He's always been so good to us, right? I wrote some things down here. I love just some definitions here. When you look up in this verse, it's an action verb, right? To trust, right? To believe in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or the strength. That describes God, right? He's trustworthy, right? He's reliable. And trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts is the opposite of what? If we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, it's the opposite of what?
Parts.
Then in our
so what?
Parts.
Parts. Yeah. It's the opposite of doubting. It's the opposite of doubting. When you trust in the Lord fully with all of your heart, it's the opposite of doubting and worrying and again just trying to figure it all out on your own. Right? And so disregarding God and his word and doubting the situation or doubting God, right? But we've got to trust in him fully. And so, gosh, y'all just did some soap right there. But so I think, you know, again, it's kind of coming back to And this is just me. I mean, this is the cool thing about this is that you could be reading Proverbs 3 tomorrow morning. We're both reading it. Me and Bobby are reading it. And we both come to the conclusion, you know, we both highlight these two verses, but I might be concentrating more on one thing, and he might be concentrating on something else. Because he may be in a completely different season and challenges than I'm in, right? And so it's so cool to just be able to take this method and apply it. And so you might take this and you're like, okay, I've read through Proverbs chapter 3. I've taken these scriptures and wrote them down. I've observed the idea, the theme of trusting the Lord, right? And then you begin to apply it. You begin to think to myself, where am I not trusting you, God? And maybe it's very clear right away. I'm just not trusting you, Lord, completely with my finances. I've been afraid to do this. I've been afraid to trust you with my finances. I've been afraid to do this, afraid to do that. And God's just saying, just trust me. I'm faithful. I always have been. I'm going to take care of you, right? And then you begin to pray that, right? You begin to pray that over those situations, those circumstances. God, help me to learn to trust you today, right? I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about yesterday. But today, I trust you. I trust you with this doctor's report. I trust you with these circumstances. I trust you with my marriage. I trust you with my kids, right? And so that's just an example there of what we could do with soap. Does that make sense to you guys? Awesome. Well, now what we're gonna do is give you guys the opportunity to do it at your table. And so what we've got is we want you guys, hopefully somebody, at least one person at every table has got a Bible. We'd love for you to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And it says to look up and read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We want you to use the SOAP method to study, understand, and apply these two verses. What I'd love for you to do is just at your table, maybe turn some music on, and you guys read the verse and kind of work as a group at your table, and then we'll come back later and kind of share some of the things that we pull from it.
Yes, you do. I was thinking, I can put this up here. I can really see it over here.
We got just a few moments left here. I hope I didn't cut you off too quick. Hopefully you're able to kind of work through this. I'd love to hear from some of you guys. So we use Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let me read it real quick. This is from the NIV. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So that was the verses we read, right? And so, who wants to go? Who wants to share? Back here.
What's it about to me is, this is your true and proper worship. That stood out to me because all too often, like if I do try to have a moment to worship, in the back of my head I have like, oh, I have laundry to do, and I have to start dinner soon, and this stuff will start to fill my head, and I feel rushed, and also I can go jump to what I have to do, and almost it's not like I forget what just happened between me and God, but it's like I get my mind into reality, and I think that that's providing us a way out and providing us a way to continuously absorb our minds on Him, even when we are doing our everyday things.
That's good. That's really good. I like that. Yeah.
She and I kind of shared a couple of same things. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. As far as renewing your mind and not conform to the pattern of this world, you know, she and I have talked about it, and we wrote along the same lines of kind of eliminating some of the things in your daily life, you know, some of the stuff you watch on TV or listen to on radio, or maybe starting your day off, you know. Bible, your prayer, and some worship music or something to get your mind renewed. And she and I are going through something personal, a little family matter that's you know, I was just telling her today that has really weighed heavy on both our minds. And it's put us in a bad spiritual place, especially myself. And, you know, that's something I'd like for the room to pray for us about, but I'm not going to get into that. But what I'm just trying to say is the renewing of your mind, how you start your day off and what you put in your mind and what you let allow to get in your mind without reading your Bible and praying. I know when I've been going through the struggle, she and I, the Bible and the praying got less and the problem got more.
Yeah.
And I forgot to trust in the Lord. And, you know, so that renewing of your mind is very, very important.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And the image that comes to my mind when you were saying that, it's like, yeah, it's true for all of us. It's like, it's easy to get in the habit of, like, first thing you get up in the morning, you grab your phone, you scroll a Facebook feed before you actually, like, and I get really, I'll put my phone down, I'm like, oh, man, go to the Bible. I didn't read God's word. I want that to be filled. I want that to be the first thing in my mind in the morning, you know, more than that. You know, I want prayer to be in my mind as the first thing. And it's so, it's amazing how as soon as we wake up, you know, our minds can be filled with the wrong things.
One of the greatest freedoms I've experienced here lately is no social media and no news.
Yeah.
I mean, I have experienced so much freedom from those two things. Talk about fasting. That's something that's really helped me.
Maybe a lot of us have had to do that recently. I know I did, like in July or August. I took Facebook, Instagram off my phone because I was just depressing. It's like I didn't want to pull that up for a while. But what's some other things that you guys said? Thank you, Bobby, for sharing that.
One of the things I kind of noticed within the last year or so is I know what my life was like when I wasn't reading the Bible every day and I wasn't feed myself in the word and worshiping and stuff, especially during corrections. You know, that darkness has a way of consuming you, and then you're lashing out at people when it's just something small. And then when you start reading this word, you start reading your mind, and you know, your attitude changes. When people come at you the wrong way, you're not quick to lash back. And then when they start to notice that difference in you, sometimes you can be the only church they see sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. So true, man.
I see a lot of angry people every day, and they see me smiling. What's wrong with you?
They see even what just a smile. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Anybody else? Good stuff. Yeah.
Going with the scripture, when it says he's actually, Paul's actually saying, well, he uses plead in that, but also uses, I urge you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. So that's important. That is actually important, the redemptive plan of God, first of all, to actually understand that we are his, we are bought and paid for. So the word body actually is actually talking about our very lives, and that therefore we let them be a living and holy sacrifice. So we live in that obedience, that's an obedience to God's word, to God's command, and the kind that he will find acceptable. So those are so some of those key words, and we look at that, our very bodies, especially our very lives. And Jesus, and I pointed out, Jesus even told the Samaritan that we worship in spirit and truth. And so that's so important to remember. Yeah. But all that he has done for you, so when you actually really think about that, put that in perspective in your mind, remembering that the Bible is the redemptive plan of God. God's work on the Jesus' work on the cross, that really, really just, that helps renew your mind when you're talking about worshiping God.
That's good. That's good. Awesome, man. Very cool. Anybody else? Well, why don't we do this? Want to take a minute to just kind of pray for you guys, but just want to encourage you guys in this. Again, how many of you are new this semester? You weren't in last semester. So I hope this was helpful to you guys. It's the first time you're hearing that. I know. You got a question?
I was gonna say something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead. You're missing.
I was saying I hope it's helpful. I know. You know, I wish I had received this method when I was younger. You know, I didn't learn about this till like college, and I've seen how it's just super helpful to even my kids. And so, what a great way to just take the Word of God and just go beyond just reading it, but actually going through the steps of the Scripture, the observation, the application, and then taking time to pray what you've read. Pray those scriptures. I can't emphasize that enough. That's something I've learned through the years. You just, whatever you're reading, it's praying. It's like, God, help me trust you today. Because my understanding of this situation, any circumstances right now, just don't make sense. You know, and I know you, as Meredith said, you're 5 steps ahead of me, and I've just got to trust you right now. So I think pray in those scriptures too. So hopefully this is helpful to you guys. Hopefully it just unlocks a new just a new adventure for you reading in God's Word and understanding it better, and it's going to be awesome. So, Ellie, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like, part of, I think, using the word observe is a little used tool that we don't often use enough is at the back of the Bible is their concordance, and sometimes if the word stands out to me, I'll start reading some of the verses that are in the concordance, like the word trust. That one, and writing other verses down that have to do with trust and different things like that. So
it's good. Yeah,
using that tool as well to study.
It's awesome.
I don't know what smart helps with like soap is a. You got the blue letter Bible on your phone. They have a little section in there where you can cross reference. So you can take a scripture and you cross reference so you can get a better understanding of what you're reading in that particular verse. And you can break the verses down and find out what it means in Hebrew Greek.
That's cool. Yeah. I think that's what's cool about this. Once you go beyond just reading the Bible to using like a method like soap, and it spurs you on to want to learn more. It spurs you on to want to kind of dig in a little bit deeper. And there's just a lot of great tools out there, especially now with apps and stuff like that, that are just available to study the Word of God even deeper. So good stuff. So why don't you guys stand? I want to pray for you. Bobby and Kelly, I just want to pray for you. We don't have to know the circumstances, but you mentioned that. We want to pray for you guys. And I know we're kind of running out of time. Raise your hand if you've got something specific you want us to pray about tonight. Just have some stuff going on. Anybody? Okay, absolutely. Well, why don't you pray with me, and we'll pray for Bobby and for those of you guys, that Bobby and Kelly, and those of you that raised hands. And believe that God's going to touch every circumstance, every situation in this room tonight, all right? God, we love you. Thank you so much for tonight, God. Thank you for your word. And God, as we've talked about this method, the soap method, Lord, just another tool, God, for us to not just read your word, God, but to begin to look at it differently and study it in a way that we can observe what we're reading, Lord God, and certain passages, certain terms, certain words, God, that stick out to us, God, and how to take those things and apply them to our life, Lord God, and how that will transform us and continue to make us into the men and women that you called us to be, and to begin to pray over those scriptures, pray over those specific things that you've shown us in what we've read on a daily basis, God. That begins to just take this a whole step further so that, God, we can you just unlock things that have either been dormant for years, Lord God, in us as we study your word more deeper, Lord God. Or for some of us, maybe for the first time in our lives, God, something just begins to be unlocked, Lord God. And we see your word differently and understand it more, you know, just better than we ever have before, God. And that it affects our lives so tremendously, Lord God. And God, that people begin to see a difference in us. Why? Because the word of God is just really beginning to change us from the inside out. So God, help us as we continue to study your word and make it a part of our everyday life. Lord God, I just pray for Bobby and for Kelly tonight, God. As he was just sharing, Lord God, if there's some stuff going on and a lot of other people raise their hands, Lord God, that may have just circumstances, family situations, different things going on, things that are in front of them, God, decisions to be made, challenges that are there, Lord God. We just pray for Bobby and for Kelly, and God, for everybody in this room, Lord God, that's facing things, God, that we would, as we said tonight, that we would trust you, God, that we would trust you with our whole heart, God, not just parts of our heart, but all of our heart, because you're trustworthy, God. Because you're faithful, because you're more than able to meet every need that we have. And God, that you would make our path straight, Lord God, because you are ahead of us. You understand what we don't understand right now. You see what we don't see. But God, we release it and put it into your hands. God, if I've learned anything in 2020, is that we don't always have the power to control things. This year has definitely taught us that. But we do have the power to surrender. And And so, Lord, I pray that every one of us in this room, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're carrying, that we would just surrender it to you and that we trust you with this. And, God, that you would just do and work miracles in our lives. God, we love you. We thank you. Pray that you go with these guys, and I pray that they have an awesome night. Amen. Amen.